You know what I love is when an episode of television ends with, like, shall we begin?
Boom! Oh, credits. God! Or, like, a movie. Or, like,
if a movie, yeah.
God. Or if it's, like, if it's, like, the season finale of something.
Yes! Oh, it's such a stupid trope, but I love
it. You know what it is? It's in Now You See Me when it ends in 3, 2, cut to black.
All right, welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
And I'm Netta, and I'm so scared about Shoma's future. Hi.
This is going to be a running theme.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep saying this until we know what's happening. But yep, this is not why we're here. Okay, what's happening with Shoma? Let's have a segment where we talk about what's happening with Shoma.
Yeah, right off the top, we're going to do a Shoma chaos update of the week, I guess. What have we heard? He's doing a summer camp in Russia right now. He just got there. After that, he's doing another one somewhere else or something.
And I very much feel like he's just auditioning places at this point.
Well, yeah, and then he's like, oh, it might take me a whole year, which I said, maybe I'll take a year off. And
everyone, yeah, go back, listen to that, like, episode.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Yeah, you've been correct. He's in Russia. He's taking selfies with, like, everyone who owns a cell phone in Russia. It's a whole thing. I hope he's doing fine. But this is not why we're here today. Why are we? What are we doing?
Today, we're finally getting around to doing the episode that we've been saying we were going to do about the ice shows that have been happening.
You know what? I'm really happy we waited because we've gotten so much, like, recorded actual legal footage of, like, so many things that now we get to talk about all of them. Because, like, most of them are, like, finishing up or are already done. So I think this is the right moment to kind of discuss what people have been doing when they're just skating for fun / money / traveling. So let's do that. How are we?
So we're gonna start with Stars on Ice Japan, which launched, like, right after World Team, kind of concurrently with World Team Trophy. I feel like the people who were in it couldn't go to World Team Trophy except for, like, Shoma, because he's insane.
Yeah.
And Nathan, I don't know, but Stars on Ice Japan was, like, the first ice show that we saw, and it was interesting because some of the Stars on Ice Japan numbers, like, stayed as it went to other countries, and some of them got changed based on the country. Like, they all did a number 2 Lemon, which we've all
we know and love,
whereas, like, in America, they did, and Canada, they did, like, a 90s medley instead. But let's see if we can think back in our thinky brains to what happened at Stars on Ice in Japan.
That was Shoma so was long there. Ago. That was,
you know what? I feel like it was long enough ago that we actually kind of talked about it.
Yeah, we, right? Like, kind of covered it.
Shoma did his crazy, like, I'm going to try fucking crazy shit.
Yeah, it was like, it was because it was happening concurrently with World Theme Trophy that we've kind of covered that Shoma was there and he was making choices, which I feel like is all we ever talk about at this point. It's just Shoma shows up somewhere, he tries to do a bunch of quads, we're all scared, but it turns out well.
Yeah, at that point, no one was doing new programs or anything. It was a lot of the same stuff that we talked about in, like, the gala recap episode.
Yeah.
Kaneko Murakami was there, and she did a chair dance to Schindler's List.
I remember that. That was a choice. First of all, Schindler's List already seems like it's going to be a warhorse for next season. There's a bunch of them coming up, which is, I mean, the music is beautiful and it tells a story and fine. But I feel like she gave us a very bizarre start to all of that.
Well, okay, here's my question. I've actually never seen Schindler's List, which is really awful. I don't really like to watch Holocaust movies on purpose. But my question is,
what do you mean on purpose? Would you like someone to, like, make you watch that?
No, I feel like it would be something you would watch in, like 8th grade history or something.
Okay, that's valid. I watched it voluntarily. I was way too young to see it. It was not good.
Is there, like, a sensual chair dance in it, or?
I honestly have not seen it in a very long time, but I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Let's go out on a limb here and say probably not.
I mean, it's not burlesque.
Here's something that's going to come up again and again as we talk about ice shows. People love to bring a chair into their program, but it's never a nice-looking chair. It's always that fucking black folding chair from, like, a church basement choir concert that your dad afterwards is like, oh, my back!
And I always feel like it's the same thing as, like, you and I have both, like, been on the other side of, like, an audition table. We've seen people audition for things. There's always that one person who comes in and is like, is it okay if I use a chair? And you're like, yeah, of course, go ahead. And then they pull up the chair and they don't really, like, make smart choices with it. It's just like, oh my god, I'm an artist and I'm holding onto the back of a chair. And that's artistic. You know?
Yeah, it's never used in a smart way in the skating programs either. It's always the kind of chair that is... It's just like in every classroom. It's a bad chair. So that features heavily in all she chair also, programs.
Like, in this particular one, she also like stepped on it a bunch, and I was so stressed out because there's no way for that to be safe. And I wondered about its symbolism. I was not sure. Beautiful music, though, of course. But
You know what we did get to see finally was Koshiro Shimada's I Want to Break Free.
That was a good chair. That was a good chair.
He had a full vanity. He did like a little Freddy wig with the earrings and the lipstick and the mustache. And it was like, I don't know what he's trying to say. I don't know. Because it was like he was trying to break free from the wig. He was trying to, we don't know. But it was really very a bold choice.
And I will liked say, it a most lot. Like masculine people who do like a Freddy tribute or do like, a queen thing, and it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna be Freddy. Most people would go to like a white tank top and maybe a mustache, and he was like, nope, I'm wearing like a full wig and like lipstick, and I respect that.
And then Shoma got to wear the wig a lot backstage.
Shoma
and
loves that wig.
Shoma stole that wig. He snatched that wig.
You know what? Shoma's been snatching her wigs. Oh sure god. Has. Oh Shoma. This is not an episode about Shoma, but we will mention him a lot.
Shoma's the new Mick Brazina. Like, he'll just keep, like, finding his way back into our conversations.
That's, you know what, that's valid, but nothing can replace the actual Mick Brazina.
Why hasn't he been in ice shows?
I don't know. I wish he were. I would love to see him do his Trader Joe's dad fantasy all through the summer. Also, like, we have no program announcements from him, and I'm stressed out. That's a conversation for another time.
That's a conversation. We're in deep denial about
managing Mick Brazina. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I went to Prague, and it was beautiful. Czech people were beautiful. He's never retiring. They have, like, two spots for Worlds. Who the fuck is going to go? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, I'm good.
We're good.
I'm doing fine. Let's carry on.
Okay. I then saw Stars on Ice in the US where I live.
Tell us about that. How was that?
I saw it in Providence. It was fucking cool as hell. I had the best time of my life. I screamed very early on in the night. My mom had to be like, Megan, I can't, like, you have to scream a little softer. I can't sustain this for the whole night.
Tell me all about that. Let's hear your full recap. I'm just going to ask guiding questions when I have them.
Okay. I might have to pull out my phone and go through.
That's valid.
The videos I took so I can remember. Which I still have, like, not gotten around to posting anywhere, but...
You should.
Oh, where the fuck is my phone? I don't know where my phone went. I'll just go by memory. So...
Who was in your cast?
In no particular order. The opening number, they did Born This Way by Lady Gaga, which they also did in Japan, but they had better costumes than ours because they were all very, like, grunge, kind of punky, and, like, Alex Tributani wore black jeans and a flannel, and I, like...
I love that look on him so much. I've seen pictures of it in, like, obviously video and stuff. He looks incredible at that. Also, I'm like, just weak for, like, black skinny jeans and flannel, but he looks beautiful.
Same. I had not... As someone who doesn't follow ice dancing as closely, I was never really, like, a huge Shib-Sibs person, but they fucking won me over so hard at this show. They did their beautiful, like, Coldplay routine. They did their Daft Punk and their sequins jackets.
I love that number so much. My only wish is that Maya wore boot covers in that, because they're, like, practically identical, and the only thing is, like, her boots are different, and I really wish It's just that. It's tiny. I mean, it's such a tiny, tiny complaint to have about it. But I just wish they were, like, completely identical in their look, because that would be super cool. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, they're stunning.
Both of them, just the jeans.
While we're talking about queen programs, so there were two queen programs at Stars on Ice, which I feel like someone didn't compare notes. So Meryl and Charlie did a queen medley, but it was so much fun, and it had like a cute little narrative through line, and it was adorable, and I loved it. So weak for them. Charlie White made eye contact with me at one point, and like
I would not be here to tell the tale.
My soul, like, shot through my eyeballs and then, like, went back in time to, like, 2002 and re-entered 12-year-old Megan's body and gave her a small stroke. Like, that's what happened.
We need to do an episode where we talk about, like, our first skate crushes, because I feel like that's...
Right now, I am talking about Charlie
White. Yeah, but I feel like it needs to be, like, a whole thing. I need to make you watch Ben Augusta when he had hair.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's, like, a cultural exchange we need to engage in.
It is, and it's, it's once again, like, your first skate crush was Ben Augusto, and mine was Charlie White, and our common link is Tanith Belbin, so there we go.
But anyway, keep talking about Stars on Ice.
Okay, so they did their queen program, and Maddie Hubbell and Zach Donahue were there, and they did a cute queen program too, and Zach Donahue came out in the red cape and the white tank top, like full. Yeah, so that was cool. They were great too, except they also did another number where they wore like all white, but with like poop stains on.
I've seen those costumes. Hold on, you're glitching.
Very dirty toilet paper.
Go back. Go back. You're glitching a lot.
You shushed me.
I shushed like the glitch, which was terrifying. I had like demon voice. It was not pleasant.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
You said white costumes with poop stains on them. I've seen those costumes. They are not good.
They're awful. Yeah, Maddie Hubbell and Zach Donahue wore dirty toilet paper outfits that were bad. But their queen program was very cute. And Charlie and Meryl also did another program that was lavender wine, lilac wine, some kind of flower wine. It was this like very, it was one of those very like moody, like acoustic, like lay me down and make sweet love to me in a field kind of numbers. It was beautiful. She wore the prettiest dress I've ever seen.
Is that the that dress?
I feel like periwinkle, yes, lilac.
Yes,
like,
yeah, it's gorgeous. Yes, I love that dress. That's my favorite color. Yes.
It was the platonic ideal of a beautiful dress.
Yeah, gorgeous. So, okay. She's so beautiful.
Now, what else happened? Vincent was sick and couldn't come, which means that in the other group number they did, which was, they did a bunch, but one of them was this 90s medley, which I actually filmed the entire thing.
You gotta have it. You gotta like stick that on YouTube or something.
I know, I gotta stick these on YouTube. Not that that's like probably allowed, but whatever.
You can unlist them and just send them to friends. Who cares?
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do. So Nathan did the Vincent solo, which was like the I Want It That Way one, which I think Man did in the Canada tour, and it's so deeply cute. Who else was there? So Ashley Wagner was there, and she did two amazing programs. I love her. She's like one of my all-time favorites, and she did Dog Days Are Over in Raff Girl French.
Can you explain Raff Girl French to those of us who may not be as visually aware of the trend?
It's just like when you're a girl coached by Raff Artunian, you wear fringe. It's just what
you
do.
So much fringe. It's just you have to. If you're not wearing fringe, you're not doing drag. No, you're not. Yeah. I had not like made that connection until one of her friends pointed it out. And now it's everywhere. It's a rite of passage. You just gotta.
Yeah, so that program was amazing. She also did a program to Groove Is in the Heart, which was so fucking fun. Oh my god, and she did it in, like, full pink. It looked a lot like Evgenia's Seven Rings costume, which we'll get to, but it was, like, full pink, like, neon, just like the video, basically. It was really, really, really fun, well choreographed. I'm trying to think who else was there. I feel like Jeremy Abbott was there. I was kind of like, I was a little bit like, this is a little boring.
Jeremy.
His backflips always look a little bit belabored to me. Like, that's, like, the one... Every ice show needs a guy who can do a backflip, but that's, like, the only thing. It's, like, really scary at this point.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's valid. I mean, I can do a backflip. I feel like if I could, I would be that person.
No, I'm trying to think who else was there. So, Mirai Nagasu was there.
You had Mirai, Brady, right? Mirai was and there. Mirai.
I had Brady and Mirai. Brady did, I got to see Romeo and Juliet live, which was very cool. Obviously, yes. With, like, way fewer jumps, but it was very cool. And Brady also did her Rihanna thing, which, like, we've talked about.
Which it we've talked about. It, like, is not any of those things.
Yeah, it's whatever. Mirai was there, and she did a program in a flannel shirt where the shirt was also a prop. It was very dramatic. And she did Halo, which I had seen before last time I saw her when she came to Providence in December, except she was just recovering from hip surgery then, so she wasn't jumping. But this time she was jumping, and it was stunning. I love that program so much.
You're, like, personally tracking her progress at this point. Like,
I know, I love her. I've seen her live more than any other skater, just, like, randomly. And then, of course, Nathan was there, and my soul heeted from my body. He did Caravan. He did Vest Caravan. I got to see Vest Caravan.
You know I love me a Vest. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm not sure if I would survive watching him skate. Caravan in the Vest. I'm not sure.
I've kind of, like, dissociated a little bit because I, like, couldn't quite handle fully being there. I was just too excited.
I mean, so, I can think of, like, times that I've, like, gone to, like, theater or, like, concerts where, like, I'm seeing someone I really, really love as a performer where it kind of feels surreal until, like, 5 days later when you're like, oh, I saw this person.
Like, if I didn't have video evidence of it, I would definitely think I dreamt it. But I'm pretty sure I have video of him doing the shimmies at the top.
Yes.
He did his Next to Me program, which was also adorable. He did a couple quads, I think. It's a little hard unless you have, like, a very, very clear view. Like, if you're watching skating live, it's sometimes a little hard to tell exactly what jumps they're doing because you can't really see their feet. Like, I had really good seats, and I still couldn't see their feet at all times. But he did do a couple quads. I'm sure that's in his fucking contract because they announced him as, like, the quad god, the quad.
They're
king,
like, you gotta show up, you gotta tape up those boots, and you just gotta try. He's still skating in those boots that are, like, fully destroyed, and also now he's skating in two different blades. I have no idea what he's doing, and it's stressing me out.
They did the Trusty and True, which is this gorgeous number that they did also in Japan that, like, made me weep. It's just very pretty.
Yeah, I've just seen the recording of that and I cried. It's so beautiful.
And then I could not fucking tell you.
I mean, most finale numbers are, like, the generic, like, everyone does.
No. It was a little help from my friends.
Oh, really. Oh, that's with the cool lifts. I clearly don't like this song, but oh, the lifts are so cool. Like, I remember seeing the On Ice Perspective video of that, of, like, rehearsal from that, and it's so, so fucking cool. It's, like, yeah, very good.
A lot of lifts. Really, really well choreographed. And I really liked the outfits that they had. They were, like, tie-dye and cool.
Aww.
And then it's cute because at one point at the end they come out and they kind of, everybody picks, like, a little chunk of audience and then, like, just, like, hugs the people in the front row.
Aww.
And Zach Donahue came to my section. I was in, like, the second row, so, like,
oh,
I didn't know. The people were, like, screaming. Like, it was, like, a bunch of little, like, it was mostly, like, teenage skate girls.
That is,
they were
so,
like,
precious.
Ah! I did see Marissa Castelli.
That's random.
She was there to see Ashley. She's from Providence.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
They all live
that's
in, like,
fair.
Or I think she lives in Boston now with, like, Ashley.
But yes, skate girls at ice shows are very much the thing.
Oh, yeah. It was very much like when Nathan came out, you would think it was, like, Justin Bieber or something.
I mean,
I don't know. What's, like, a more current reference? Like, BTS.
BTS.
It was very similar.
I mean, I'm 25 like, years old.
And I was
old.
Contributing.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm 25 years old, and I'm pretty sure I would be shrieking, like, louder than all of them. I realized recently that Kings on Ice, or, like, whatever, like, the plush one was in Bulgaria in, like, 3 years ago. I was not here when it happened, but it was apparently at my rank, which I didn't know about. I would have died, like, straight up. It was 2016, so we were, April of 2016, we were in grad school.
So then, fast forward a little into the future, I recovered from that. It was incredible. What was the next thing that happened? Was it Ice Fantasia? Yes, it was Ice Fantasia.
Yeah, Ice Fantasia, like, kind of started at the same time-ish. The most important thing about Ice Fantasia is that all of them got incredible jackets.
Oh my god.
I'm not sure who the sponsor was, who was responsible for that. But all of them got those jackets that are like little like athletic bombers with like birds and flowers on them. And by everyone, I mean, so like, good. Everyone down to Brian Arthur was wearing one of those.
Yeah. It's They're so choreo bizarre. By Shaylin and direction by Brian Orser, so a lot of the cricket people were there.
Which is a fucking dream. Like, as just good people making things.
Yeah, and if it's cricket and it's in Korea, obviously Baby Junwon was there. He was the star. He did a lot of programs. He did all of them with a slutty back detail in the shirt.
Yes!
Obviously, you gotta have the slutty back slit.
It's like his brand at this point.
It is, and he did a really, really fun version of Romeo and Juliet, which I think was actually my favorite performance of it that I've seen, where yes. It was, like, the jumps were scaled back, but, like, he was so into it, and it just was, like, ugh.
It was everything. Like, of the theater of what it needed to be, and he replaced, like, the jump landing into Juliet with, like, a dramatic slide, and you know I like a dramatic slide, like, oh, yeah. In any situation. I'm just happy when people are, like, sliding around. So it was fun because we watched, I don't remember which recording of that, there was something, and I remember it being like, oh my god, is he gonna, like, what is he gonna do for, like, that iconic moment, because we're all waiting for it, and then it was dramatic in a new way, which was super exciting, like,
Mine
refreshing.
Mine glitched at that exact moment, and I had to watch, like, a gif of it later, but Scott and Tessa were there at that one, and I love their program, and her, like, black strappy dress, like, oh my god, that
Tessa
was great, whatever that was.
So beautiful. All of her dresses are just gorgeous. It's always great to see them. I feel like they're, like, a lot like Yuzu or, like, Plushenko, which we're gonna, like, talk about in a second, and that, there's, like, this myth around them at this point, and it's like, oh my god, Scott and Tessa are there, and then they come out to skate, and it's just, like, they're still so fucking incredible, and it's still, like, so fresh to see them, and I kind of forget that, because they're, like, such a thing that I always imagine, like, Moulin Rouge, or, like, anything else they've already done, and then they skate, like, something else, and I'm like, oh, right, you can keep doing this for 20 years, and it's still gonna be incredible, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
I really love them.
The other thing about this show was it was the first time we saw Evgenia's new Seven Rings program,
yes!
Which has become iconic. I think it's the new Toxic of the season.
Yeah, it's early, like the Toxic of... Yeah, if she keeps that, and I feel like she will. She has, like, 12 exhibition programs. She just likes self-choreographing shit. If she does that at exhibitions for competition next season, it's gonna be the new Toxic, because it's so much fun, and it's Ariana. You know I love Ariana Grande. I'm basically a 12-year-old girl. It's so great. It's such a fun program, and it's like this part of her that we don't really see when she's competing, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it's a part of her we don't even see when she's doing, like, exhibition show stuff, because she's the kind of person who usually likes to, you know, still do, like, a dramatic, like, angsty thing, and it's always, like, props, and it's sad, and there's, like, roses and whatever, and then this one program is so much fun, and she's wearing all the pink, and it's, like, a whole thing. She changed, like, two costumes for it at this point.
Yeah, so I have a nitpicky thing to say about this, which is that I really like the Ice Fantasia costume better than the one that she then started using for Fantasy on Ice in Japan, because the original costume was, like, Barbie pink latex. She has, like, full, like, boot cover, like, all the way up to the knee, and, like, a skirt, and then, like, a crop top, and, like, the long ponytail, and, like, a really kind of ugly looking fur coat, but, like, I liked it because it's very tongue-in-cheek, it's very, like, campy and cheap looking, and I loved it. It was, like, the right tone. It was kind of, like, not trying to be pretty, just kind of trying to be, like, trashy, and I love that.
And then, oh, that's all of my drag, if anyone's wondering.
And the subsequent costume was a little too, like, Astray Couture airbrush, like, ooh, you know, it was a little bit like, we're trying to make it a skate costume. It didn't quite work because it's kind of not that.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, especially with that number, and with, like, obviously she has, like, the high pony and, like, the whole, like, Ariana thing, I think it has to be self-aware, for the joke of it to work. And I think, like, she knows that in the way she performs it, regardless of costume. But whoever designed the second costume just got a little bit too excited. That's fine. But
if I were her, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I hope that, like, if she keeps doing that for, like, during the season, maybe she pegs the wrong costume. Maybe we get the vinyl back. I really like the vinyl. Or, like, whatever, like, latex fantasy it is.
If I were her, I'd keep it. First of all, Misha G, Misha Ge, Misha Ye.
We don't know. At this point, good. We do not know. Can I just... I know we're going to do, like, a whole other episode at some point. We've been watching old things. So we've been watching Misha when he was competing. I mean, that was, like, a season ago. But every single announcer says his name differently. I'm still confused. It's different on his Twitter bio. It's different when people introduce him in different countries. It is literally two letters. I don't know how there's so many ways to say two letters. I'm confused, but I love him. And he's a great choreographer. I just needed
fellas.
To get that out.
Fellas.
Is it gay?
Is it G? Is it gay?
Is it gay?
Fellas, is it gay? I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. So anyway, he choreographed the Ariana number, and Jenny clearly has fun with it. I would keep it because I feel like when they put together an exhibition lineup, they put in the ones that are, like, crowd pleasers and fun, regardless of how you did.
Yeah, so I feel like
she would get to do it more.
Yeah, yeah.
But if she did her, like, Red Roses program or whatever.
Yeah, which I love for personal reasons. I also love her Beautiful Mess, because that's based on Bulgarian music, which I'm at peace with. But I feel like this is, out of all of her show programs, and she really does have a bunch, I think it's her most fun, and I really hope she keeps doing it, because she's clearly enjoying herself with it.
Now, at Ice Fantasia, we also got Bo-Yang, which is always a pleasure.
Ah, what a joy.
What a joyful, joyful, joyful man. So man. And so we got your boyfriend, Jason Brown, was there. I don't think he did anything new. He did his Evan Hansen, which is, like, fine.
I mean, he's the only person who can make me care about Evan Hansen. And it's because... I mean, we're not going to go into the musical theater side of this. That's a new podcast that we're going to start at some point when I... completely ran out of things to say, which is never. But I don't care for this show. I think I'm not the target audience for it. I think a lot of things about it are overrated and whatever. Don't at me. Or do. I don't care. But he makes me care about it because he performs it with, like, so much, like, he's so earnest about it. And he, like, truly cares. And, like, we know he's a musical theater nerd. We've seen him do Hamilton. We know he enjoys, like, a little show tune number situation. He makes me care for it, and it's really cute. It was, like, this whole thing of, like, I don't remember which one of the guys of, like, the creative team of Evan Hansen, like, tweeted about it at some point.
I didn't know that.
He, like, I don't remember, Pasek or Paul, one of them too, or maybe
and or Paul
or maybe it was Ben Platt. I don't know, one of them people who are involved with this show tweeted about it. He wears, like, the little shirt from, like, the whole thing. He is precious, and I enjoy that. However, I'm happy for him to be doing new stuff, which we need to talk about when we get to updates. But he can do no, like, he can go out and skate, like, Music of the Night, and I'd be like, you know what, that's valid, you're beautiful. I'd be upset about it, but he's beautiful
now. Okay, Couple more things about Fantasy on Ice, or Ice Fantasia.
One of them.
One, as always, now and forevermore, Elijah Balde is super hot.
He is so attractive. It is upsetting,
like,
to me.
Every time we're like, oh!
He is so attractive. He's so good. He's one of those people who was born to be doing, like, skating for entertainment. He is so good with, like, a crowd. And just, mm-hmm. like... making people care for what he's doing and, like, getting everyone on their side and entertaining. He's also incredibly hot.
I would let him run me over with a truck.
Big save. With a Zamboni.
All right, great.
Swiftly moving on.
This is a very professional show that we do here. And then, rapid tone shift here. There were those two old Russian clowns.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're just two Russian clowns. They just lift each other. And they it's like each full other like actual. Step on each other.
We say clown here in like the actual performance style. They just do clown work. Do not enjoy them. We were watching that with a bunch of people, and all of us were so confused.
Not a single fucking one of us knew what was going on. And you know, listen, it's like when we live stream this shit from Asia, it's already like 4 a.m.
Or like for me, it's like early mornings and I'm just like pre-coffee, just very upset. I've like had a 1 hour nap. And then there's
full like fever dream. Like, is this a night terror? Is this sleep paralysis? What's happening?
My sleep paralysis is very much to Russian clowns ice skating. It is.
That's exactly what it's like.
I do not enjoy clown as a performance style ever. It scares me. I am not happy with seeing clowns. I know one clown who's a great person, and that's about it. Did not enjoy
hashtag it. Not all clowns.
Hashtag not all clowns. Clowns terrify me. And I understand, as a performer and a person who deals with makeup, I understand it's a person in a very particular kind of thing doing a performance style. It scares me. I don't care for it. I don't want to know about it. Also, those two Russian clowns' numbers are like 6 minutes long.
Yeah, it's too long.
I'm peeved. Like, you get like someone like Zhenya or like Yuzu, and all of them do like 2.5 minutes, and then like 17 costume changes, and then they do like another thing. It's like 4 minutes, and then those two guys are like fucking around for like almost 7 minutes at a time. I'm not happy about it. It upsets me. Okay.
Diminishing, even all, like, even the best clown, diminishing returns on that. Like, it's funny, and then it's not funny. You know, it's like, all I can think of is, like, do you think they go to the doctor, and they're like, I'm depressed, and they're like, well, maybe you should go see these clowns at Ice Fantasia, and they're like, but doctor, we are the clowns at Ice Fantasia. Oh my god, thank you. Good night, I'm retiring from podcasting.
Do not forget to tip your bartenders. We're gonna be here for at least another half hour. Great. God, Lord,
Jesus. Well, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Yeah.
Now, Fantasy on Ice has been going on for like a million years in Japan. But
it's like going on in like 10 years, right?
Oh, no, I just meant, like, this year.
This
like,
year?
It's, like,
yeah.
Every weekend. It's but, just like, been. All...
Yeah, they do, yeah. Like, they do, like, this system where they have, like, a couple shows in a city for, like, 4 days. And then they have, like, 5 days off. They travel to the other place. They do that. So it's not, it's not, like, a 8 shows a week kind of thing. It's just, like, they move around. Yeah, it's a tour, but it's, like, a very odd schedule where they just, like, stay in one place for, like, a week and do a bunch of shows there. And we got that filmed, like, twice, which is cool.
What was... Oh, my God. You know what I completely forgot? The other one.
Which one?
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Which one? There's been so many.
Peanut. What was the one that Keiji won? There was one that he was in, and I can't remember if it was a smaller show or if he was just in one weekend of Fantasy on Ice, but he debuted his new Black Eyed Peas program.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay. I watched the whole thing. Like, I don't... Give me 1 second. I'm gonna find it. I feel like...
There's just been so many, and not to mention, there's been, like, stuff happening in Russia that I don't even know about.
This is, like, also... just the U.S. political situation. It's like, there's stuff happening in Russia. I can't even go there.
Yeah, I don't even want to ask at this point.
Okay, Prince Ice World happened.
What the fuck? Yeah, it did.
It did happen. Shoma was there. Shoma was there. That was the one where he did Great Spirit in...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rookie makeup.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So cute.
Yes.
Wakaba was there.
Oh my god, yes. Love her.
This was like before
everything.
This is before everything with Shoma happened, but Kazuki was there and he did his he did his Daft Punk program, which is the cutest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life, and I love him.
I'm so excited to see him compete again.
This is going to be his season. You mark my fucking words.
Oh, I'm sure. I trust you. I just wanted to have it on record.
Maren Honda debuted her new City of Stars, which, like, whatever, I'm not a La La Land fan, but it's gorgeous. And
her season is going to be so bizarre because she's doing City of Stars and she's one of the people doing a Seven Nation Army. So that's going to be fun.
I love her, but she's testing me.
But her Seven Nation Army is a Shaylin, so maybe.
That's true. Maybe. And the most important thing that happened is KG showed us his new exhibition, which is to the Black Eyed Peas, which I would not have been, you know, I would not have been excited about, but it's really, really exciting. And he does such a great job. It's very,
it's hype. It's like,
it's hype and campy. And he does it in like a pink shirt and jeans and a leather jacket. And so if I were going to put a Black Eyed Peas song to KG, I would have chosen What You're Gonna Do With All That Ass Inside Some Jeans.
My Humps.
My Humps. Yes, that's not the full title.
But that song is also like, it's very much about, I'm assuming a feminine person. It very much talks about their lovely lady lumps.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, well, anyway. Whatever. If he wants to skate to that, I would not object.
He continues to be the king of camp masculinity and a good exhibition. There's a point at which he dramatically unzips his leather jacket, and every time I see it, I scream that nothing comes out. It's like this very, like, and like nothing comes out. So.
Oh, God bless. That's,
God bless.
I respect that.
Well, anyway, okay, so moving on. Okay, so we should talk about All That Skate, which is the other big Korean ice show.
Okay, want to talk about that, because we watched, like, the full professional broadcast recording of it.
Yes.
And it felt so weird. And I'll tell you why.
It was really weird. Why was it weird, Netta?
It felt so clinical. I will go ahead and say, first of all, great cast, beautiful performances, beautiful everything. The production value was out of this fucking world. Mm-hmm. They have, like, this incredible projection setup where they have to, like, they have the ability to, like, project full, like, vibrant images onto the entire ice. And I know, like, a lot of the shows have, like, some sort of, like, light and projection thing going on. But that was, like, next level. And they had, like, things relating to each performance that was kind of, like, you know, some projection designer was like, oh my god, they're doing, you know, whatever, so here's, like, this thing that kind of reflects that projected. Super beautiful, super great. It felt so produced that it was hard to care for it. Like, I'm not saying I want, like, low production value or, like, underproduced ice shows, but something about it felt so precious.
It felt very like Hunger Games. Like, it felt very like the Capitol is doing a pageant.
Yeah, you said when we were watching it, it felt like a pageant for a dictator.
And which I then was like, oh, it's in Korea. Maybe that's not a cute joke to make.
I mean, it's not because of that. It was not political. It was very much like this Capitol. Like, it just felt very far removed from its audience, which was bizarre.
Well, yeah, because we'll get to the Fantasy on Ice Kobe broadcast, which we just watched, like, right before recording this, which was really cute because they showed the skaters kind of being human in the locker rooms and, like, backstage doing stupid shit and, like, baking cakes and, like, they put in little fluff bumper things, which were cute. That's, like, it was the polar opposite of that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily always want to see, you know, people in their socks and headphones warming up. But there's something about, there was this expectation put on the audience with Oh, That's Skate, where it was all about, like, we're gonna skate out, and it's gonna be this whole thing, and then everyone screams, and, like, it felt, I mean,
it
obviously,
was like the whole thing was, like, the opening ceremony of the Olympics, but for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, the vibe was weird. And I know, I'm sure that, like, every single individual person in the audience who went and, like, saw it live had a different experience. I'm sure, like, being there, sitting down, watching it was, I'm sure, a lot of fun. But it felt choreographed, like, down to the audience responses, which was very odd. And, like, it was hard to connect with it, even though, like, performance-wise, do we want to, let's just go through it. Do you have, like, the cast list?
Yeah, so what I need to talk about is that the opening was to Movement by Hozier. And I'm a huge Hozier fan. Movement is my favorite song off his new album, and I've been listening to it and like choreographing skating routines in my head to it since it first came out. So the fact that they did this group routine to it was an actual dream come true.
I might have cried.
I did too, and it opens with like Nathan doing his like modern dance movements, and like
that's my favorite. Nathan is when he like shows that he can do that.
Oh my god!
And the contemporary dance, Nathan is like my favorite.
It's incredible. Like at one, like so, it's like it opens with that, and then like the pair of skaters, it's like Vanessa and Morgan, and Shui and Han, like just being sexy, like they all are. And then like fucking Javi comes in, and all the men just step aside and let him dance with the women because it's like it's Javi, like it's
you just gotta let him.
Gotta let him have a turn.
Also, like and all then, of those people that you just listed skating to Hozier is like a dream I've had.
Even if it was just any one of those pairs, I would have just lost
any one
mind.
Of those people. Any like even if it was just like Vanessa by herself.
Oh my god.
I would be like, right? You know what? That's perfectly fine and I'm here for that. Like when the video started to drop from that, at first I was like, what is happening? And then when we got to see the whole thing, fucking gorgeous. Like every single one of them.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So then Shoma fucking cantilevers in like and let's take a break from the recap of this to just for a second say that when he rolled in on set to all that skate, it was like fresh off of the heels of his big announcement. He looked like he had not slept like 4 days
ever.
He had like bags under his eyes. He looked rough.
I mean, it's Shoma, so he might have not slept for like 5 hours, but he looked exhausted. He looked exhausted and ruffled, but it super worked for me. I don't know. I hope he's resting now.
Then he did his cute Nike photo shoot and all was well. But anyway, so he swoops in and then, so then everyone comes in. It's like, whatever. Everybody's dancing. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
It looks like Linda Evangelista. It's a model.
It was. It was the Valentina of program. So then everyone gets in a line. And then Hozier's like, move like a bird of paradise. And everyone did this, like, bird wing situation. And then the beat dropped and Yuna came in dressed like a mermaid.
She's, like, the only person in a different costume. And it's very much her show and not yours.
It is. It's, like, this, like, beautiful. And everybody was in, like, beautiful. It was, like, black spandex lingerie with, like, silk satin pajamas on top, but they were all in like sea colors because
like
the
very
cover
soft
of
pastels,
album is very
yeah.
like underwater. And then Yuna comes in like beautiful sea green like mermaid. She's got like 40 hair bundles in and it's just like whooshing in the wind.
All of the every single woman, especially like the Korean cast of all that skate, all of them went to like the good hair store. And all of them got a bunch of bundles. There was so much hair. And I say that as a fake ponytail enthusiast. Wearing a fake pony is like one of my favorite things in the world. Makes you feel powerful and beautiful. All of them were wearing like 7 of them. And I respect
that. Oh, it was
that.
Incredible. And she comes out just when the choir comes in and is like, oh! And then they all just sort of part and Yuna just skates in. And it's stunning,
gorgeous.
Okay? And then she has
beautiful.
Her own encore in which she doesn't do anything except skate around beautifully. It's literally just like level 2 moves in the field. It's fucking Yuna Kim.
You know what?
And I don't care. I would pay $600,000 to see that.
You know what? One of my favorite things, like obviously anyone like her or like Yuzu or Javi or Zhenya or like any of those people that we see as like legend icon stars, we know that they can, you know, spin and jump and do all of those gorgeous things, impossible things that, like, no one else can, like, fathom executing. What I deeply enjoy watching is when they're just doing, like, back cross rolls, but it looks like they just made it up, and it's, like, this incredible thing. Because, like, Yuna can cross the entire rink in, like, 7 crossovers just because like the way she leans into it and like travels, and it's so gorgeous, and it's like it's literally moves in the field. It's like basic skills, but the quality of it is so stunning, and it's like it explains to you as a viewer why those are the people who get that response and who have this legacy is because they can like do a 2-foot spin and you're like, you know what, that's incredible, no one else can ever do that.
It's true. And like she's getting, what is she, like 27, 28 now?
Yeah.
I think she's a little younger than me. she's
old,
getting to that age too. No, I was gonna say she's getting to that age where female skaters get that sort of like really beautiful womanly quality where everything just sort of has an ease to it that you don't get to see in competitive skating because you retire when you're like, you know, whatever, seven. Like 22. Seven, yeah.
If a Terry has anything to say about it.
I have to retire.
A single breast.
Just one.
Oh, God. We're not objectifying feminist skaters. Yeah,
just
no.
Just male.
Yeah, you know what? They deserve that. It's fine. This is it's equality.
It's equality?
No, okay, but so, yeah, I agree with you. The Yuna, like, hype has never been something I personally relate to in competition. Just, I don't know. Maybe because of, like, the commentators I grew up with or, like, the perspective I had growing up. It was never something I understood fully. Watching her skate now with like the seriousness and the the amount of I'm trying to figure out the smart way to say this. She like belongs in her place in such an undeniable way, and she like controls an audience and executes everything in a way where I'm like, I can understand now. Like, I'm fully following and I know why.
She has people a presence. Care. She has a star quality.
Yeah, she just has that thing where, like, she skates out and I'm like, oh, there it is. Like, I'm interested. I'm watching. Which is incredible. So good. Yeah, she's great. That program, yes. Beautiful. Like, this...
She did also
this, like, entire...
issues.
Yes, she did. But I had problems with that. I had issues with
you
it.
You had issues.
I had issues, all of them were how bad I needed her to be doing the original version of this song. She starts out with, like, first of all, she looked gorgeous. It was, like, a contemporary, like, streetwear kind of thing, which I always enjoy on ice. I feel
sequin
like...
Sequin pants.
Yes, it was beautiful. Like, sparkly and, like, disco and great and, like... I like, you know, fancy streetwear. I always feel like if, you know, the girls wear pants or, like, there's crop tops or, like... people in jeans and all of that, it feels like they're low-key breaking a rule because we're so used to seeing them in, like, beautiful embroidered spandex. I super enjoyed that. But she starts out doing, like, this slower, like, mellower, like, acoustic version of it. And then where it could just go to the original, which is, like, a beautiful, like, pop song, it went into, like, a weird remix. And we never got the actual song, which is a really good... It's, like, one of my favorite songs of, like, the past, like, 2 years. And I feel like she could have done the same choreo without, like, all of the weird music choices in it. Yeah, I wished it was the real song because I really enjoyed that song and the program was great and she looked beautiful. Yeah. Those were my issues with that.
The other thing she did was... like this long extended sequence of dark eyes with a bunch of the like pair skaters, and I just don't give a shit about dark eyes. I'm sorry, it just it's news. Sorry.
Yeah, it felt that whole sequence felt like it could have used some editing, just like a little. It felt long, and I got it. Like I got to the point where I was like, okay, I know what you're doing with this. What else?
We didn't even watch the whole thing. We like skipped huge chunks of it, and it was still like still going.
Yeah, respectfully, I feel like they could have been less precious about it. What else happened?
Now, okay, so there were like 100 Korean girls there.
Oh, Eunsoo Lim was single, there. She looked fine.
She looked fine. She did a Janelle Monáe program, and
which
it was
great.
Cute, but it was, I mean, I wish that somebody else had been doing it just because I don't think she got the vibe, but it was cute.
The thing is, she always skates so beautifully, and I feel like Janelle needs you to be a little edgier and like
you want it to be a little dirty,
get it a little more like it it needs to have that quality to it, which she was lacking because it was so polished that I was like, I'm not buying this.
Yes.
But she looked fine. Her hair is gorgeous. She went to the good hair store as well.
She sure did.
Yeah, she skated in jeans, which I always appreciate. Like I was just saying, I like the little like rule-breaking sense of that, but it felt very performative. It felt like she's like this beautiful polished, you know, raff French girl, and then this thing felt very performative.
Nathan was there and he did Nemesis and he did what else did he do? He didn't do Next to Me, did he?
I don't think
he did. I think he did. Maybe he did.
Maybe he did. I don't know. I've been enjoying how much he's been doing Nemesis. Because, and not to dwell on old things, but anyone else would be like, I'm never, ever doing that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing it and nailing it every single time. And I respect that.
I mean, I agree. I love seeing it. And it's such a good song.
It is my God. Such a great song. It's like, it's like the kind of music I enjoy seeing on ICE. And it works with him so well. It's like another one of those things where he gets to be more contemporary in his quality of movement. And it's, you know, obviously great because he brings that. Like, I feel like when he does it for ICE shows, it always has that slight energy of all of his exhibition skates where it's slightly self-edited, which I enjoy seeing in his stuff. Like, it's obviously not, like, fully self-made and choreographed, but it has that quality of, like, oh, he's been thinking about how to do this for this occasion.
Can I say, though, this is maybe a weird thing to say. There are, like, we were talking about, like, Elage Ball Day. There are some skaters who were just born to do ice shows, and they're, like, who just, I love seeing them on ice shows so much more. I think Nathan is better as a competitor. I think Nathan performs better when there are stakes.
Oh,
I think
he
fucks up at ice shows. I don't think he's as on. I don't think he's as comfortable being fully in character at an ice show. I'd rather see Nathan at a competition.
Agreed. I think he needs the stakes of it. Also, I think he's had no fucking time to rest since U.S. Nationals. So I think this stretch has been trying for him. And he's still doing things. He's doing the Michael Weiss thing as of right now. Like, of the time of recording. He has not stopped. And I feel like this is also, like, a part of it. But I very much agree that he does do better when there's stakes. Also, lest we forget, since I'm, like, bringing up all of his past trauma, he did get his hip injury at an exhibition, so I think there might be, like, a leftover sense of, like, not wanting to, you know, be fully on 100%, like, hyper-performing without the stakes of competition, because last time he did that, it went terribly. I don't know.
True, and, like, I say this, but, like, I saw him at a nice show live, and it was, like, the best time ever, and, like, he just seems, it's so funny, because you see him live, you realize he's a little guy, he's, like, 5'5",
he's young,
he's, like, 19, 20 years old, he's, like, a little babe, so he seemed, like, just happy to be there, like, all smiles and waves.
Love that, I love knowing that for him, and about him. Obviously, there's people who, we've talked about that before, there's people who perform differently depending on the stakes, and maybe he just needs that push of knowing that he's being graded on the things he's doing. But that said, he's always incredible to see on ice. So let's get through this, because I need to talk about Dennis.
I know. Well, speaking of, we're going to move on to Fantasy on Ice.
Yes!
Now, which is a slightly different breed of ice show, because they collaborate with live musicians, which is super cool. And this year, the main guy is Toshi, who
is
a Japanese.
He is so fucking cool.
He's a Japanese rock star. He's, like, one of the fathers of the visual K movement, which, if you're not familiar, is, like, I guess, sort of analogous to, like, glam rock.
It feels very glam rocky.
It's very, like, vast oversimplification. Like, don't at me, visual K people. It's very glam, campy rock. Yes.
A lot of sparkle, a lot of guitar.
Oh, yeah. It's like if you go to the back of any Hot Topic and look at the J-Rock magazines, you can get a clearer picture of that.
Can I make an emo confession? As a self-proclaimed emo person for the past, like, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
I've never been to a Hot Topic.
What? Netta Marie. I love Hot Topic. I still shop there because
they have cool Phantom stuff. I've been on their website many times.
They have cool jewelry. They have good jewelry, and a lot of it is, like, buy X amount, get X amount free. And I have a membership card.
That is
there
incredible.
They have, like, cheap hoop earrings.
They also collaborate with Drag Queen Merch, which is owned and run by Ms. Bible Girl, who is someone I love and admire very deeply, and the person responsible for, like, 90% of drag queen merch ever. Dragqueenmerch.com, please sponsor me. Bye, boy, I love you. No, but I've never been inside of an actual human Hot Topic because when I was younger and a little emo kid in Bulgaria, we didn't have Hot Topic, so that was one of the sources of my emo angst, was that all of the emo kids on MySpace online had this place they could go to, and I had nowhere, so I had to, like, settle for, you know, normie clothes that I would try and, like, make emo, because we didn't have that. I have a hand-painted My Chemical Romance shirt that my mom painted for me, because I couldn't buy one.
That's cute. Where did you get your Manic Panic?
Well, at first, I would only buy hair dye when I traveled to London to visit my aunt when I was, like, 15. And I would, like, bring it back to Bulgaria and dye my hair. And then eventually, we started getting it. But I've never been inside of an actual Hot Topic, and I just needed to come out and say that.
You have to come visit me, and we'll go to Hot Topic.
Oh, my God, yes. It's, like, the first thing I'm doing when I'm back in the U.S. is visiting you so we can go to Hot Topic.
It's so good.
I'm excited. Right, so can't wait. So, Toshi.
Fantasy on Ice, Toshi. Okay, so he's a singer, and a lot of the programs in this show are, like, collaborations with him. They're specially choreographed to go with his songs, and I think everybody was a little bit confused at first because everyone was like, oh my god, Yuzu's doing Phantom again. But really what was going on is that Toshi has a song called Masquerade that is, like, adjacent to Phantom, like, it samples it very briefly, and Yuzu does a program to that for this show, but it's not the kind of thing that would be, like, reprised, especially in competition. It was, like, it was, like, a very special situational thing.
I think a lot of people for a second thought he was bringing Phantom back, but mm-hmm. And you know I'm always opposed to a Phantom program from anyone. Same. But it was that version of that I actually super enjoyed, because it was, like, the tiny hint of it, it felt like getting this little joke in there, which I appreciated, because we all know Yuzu's actual Phantom program is iconic and one of the good Phantoms out there. I really enjoy that little, like, when the Phantom riff comes in towards the end of this program, I'm like, oh god, yes, because, like, you've kind of been waiting for it, and it feels good.
It's so dramatic. It's, like, red and black, full, like, he has, like, his hand in front of his face, and then he does a super dramatic layback in a bower, and then he rips off his glove, and he slims, and he's like, this glove.
His dramatics, when, you know, when we were just talking about, like, how Nathan performs in competition, obviously, or, like, in versus in ice shows, obviously, I don't care to keep comparing the two of them, because they're very different performers, but there's, like, this vibe that Yuzu gets when he's not in competition, where he still has murder eyes, but it's in a very different way.
It's, like, just crazy eyes. The crazy eyes, especially in Kobe, were, like, out to fucking play.
Yeah, he just, like, he gets, like, a different way of, like, wanting to... He still performs with, like, the intensity he gets when he's competing, but it's a very different energy, and he's having fun with it in a way. I'm not going to say that he doesn't, like, have fun when he's competing, but when he's competing, he's, like, so focused and serious in, like, this very intense way, whereas when he's just skating a show or, you know, when we get to see him in, like, exhibitions and stuff, he has this vibe of, like, oh, yeah, you're going to watch me, and it's very fun to observe. Enjoy it.
He's measured in competition in a way that he just kind of lets it go in ice shows, and you can tell that he's obviously, like, a very dramatic boy, and you can tell that he really gets to, like, live his dramatic fantasy at these shows and be the star and be like, arm, face, legs, Y spirals, face, you know, it's that.
It's very much, like, a lot more, he gets to, I'm not gonna say improvise, but he gets to, like, insert his own kind of sense of performance and, like, a little sense of improvisation in it. For example, like, in the Kobe recording, there is one particular jump where I'm gonna go ahead and say that he rushes the landing and he lands before, like, Toshi gets to, like, his dramatic point of singing, and then he just, like, twizzles a bunch to, like, add a flair on that. Which he would not do in competition. He would just know, like, right when he's supposed to be landing. And, like, he would be impeccable as usual. But it's fun to see that from him. It's fun to see him be like, well, I guess I'm going to twizzle. Like, I enjoy seeing that.
We love a vulnerable Yuzu. It's, like, something we're not allowed to
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's what makes this so enjoyable. And like with the Kobe recording, where they have like all of the like backstage stuff and like his like little interview spot with Nobu, it's a lot of fun to see him be this human person, this like dramatic guy who just wants to be like entertaining and like perform and like show off. Like, that's very attractive and fun to watch. And I've been missing that this season. So it's been so great to see him back to that.
Agree. Now, he also does the other one, Crystal Memories. Kind of more of the same. It's just a different song and it's a different costume. But it's a...
It's, like, very much a costume he feels secure in. It's, like, frilly and, like, pastel. And the song is fine. I'm sure if you're, like, a huge Toshi fan and you know it, it's, like, riveting.
Don't add us Toshi stans.
No, I wish I was a Toshi stan. Like, if you have the starter pack, please let me know. Because I'm ready. I'm willing.
Yeah, he's cool.
I enjoy him deeply. But, yeah, it feels like it's a very Yuzu program. He gets to, like, do those beautiful long lines and just look gorgeous. And I could watch that for, like, half an hour. Like, there is very few things he can do where I'd be like, you know what, I'm done. If he started doing Phantom again, I might be done.
Yeah.
Who the fuck else was there?
Oda Nobunari is there doing Mission Impossible, but it's kind of like a slapstick version. But he's so funny that he like crawls around the audience and does. He's just like really fun. He's funny and dramatic, and like he's got the whole package. So I love that he's still doing ice shows.
Me too. I love watching him skate, and I also, he's one of those skaters who I guess I just like trust him a lot when he's performing. Like when he does something dumb and like runs into the audience, or like is doing one of those spins where it looks like he's out of control, but he's actually not. I just know that he knows what he's doing in a way that's like very comforting, and it's easy to like let go and actually like enjoy watching him and really have fun with it. Because there's people who will you know, try that vibe of like slapstick and, you know, comedy on ice, and sometimes I'm like, oh my god, you're gonna get hurt. And with him, it reminded me, it might be because of like the running into the audience, but it reminded me of Nicole Delamonica and Matteo Guarizzi's Rocky thing, and just how like self-aware and funny and like overly dramatic it is. I also wish I could see Nobu like collaborate with other Matteo Rizzo, because I feel like the two of them would have, they could do like Man in Black or something with like,
oh my god,
Mission Impossible and Ghostbusters. I feel like that's like the mix of the two things, is like doing like a pair skate where the two of them are like ghost hunters or like detectives or something. I don't know. I just want it. I really want it.
I was trying to think, like, where's the cultural cross section of like Japan and Italy? And I'm thinking like JoJo and like Super Mario Brothers. Like, that's like the two things where like Japan and Italy come together.
Okay, but Nobu and Matteo dressed as Mario and Luigi.
Can we make this happen? Like, who do we call?
I'm rebranding. I'm rebranding. My new career is gonna be as an ice show producer. I can't skate well enough to choreograph or anything. I'm just going to tell people what they should be doing.
Exactly. We're just like, who do we write to? That's a genius idea. Okay.
Can you fucking imagine? That would be so funny. So if anyone's listening and has the pull to do that, please, I'm begging you.
Please make it happen, please. Thank you. So Steph and Dennis are there?
Steph and Dennis are there.
I feel like Dennis never gets to be in any of the broadcasts, because I don't know why, but I love Dennis with all my heart.
I feel like
heart.
Japan doesn't know him as well as, like, we know him and care for him. While we're at Dennis, can we just talk about Dennis for a second? Because I love him so deeply. I'm sad we didn't get to see, like, the full versions of either one of his performances. He has a new, I'm not sure, I'm guessing it's going to be one of his competitive programs, to Bloodstream by Tokyo Myers, which is overused. We've seen it, we know. But it's like one of my favorites, because it starts like so beautiful and classical, and then the beat drops, and it slaps, and it's great, and I love it. The thing is, the fucking Kobe recording gave us the beautiful classical part and cut to commercial right when the beat drops. Which is so profoundly upsetting. I feel like I've been edged by this recording. I'm not happy about it. But at the same time, like, now...
Vasiliev's.
God, I wish that were me.
Sorry, I'm looking this up because I want to know exactly what.
His Instagram just says he's premiering this new program. It doesn't say how he's going to be using it. I'm going to go ahead and say that
it's Two Men in Love by the Irrepressibles. Irrepressibles said gay rights.
Gay rights. Yeah, it's Pride Month's been long and bizarre. People have been doing all kinds of things. Off season's been longer and more bizarre, and we still have months to go. I'm keeping a list of, like, the weirdest things that have happened in off-season, and at some point I'm just gonna, like, do, like, a dramatic rating of all of them. But Dennis just posted that he's doing this program to the song Two Men in Love by the Irrepressibles, which is undeniably extremely gay. And we're not gonna...
It's also so pretty, oh my
god. It's gorgeous. It's... for those of you following at home, the Irrepressibles, it's actually one guy. It's just, like, his, stage name is the Irrepressibles.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it's one person. Yeah, it's one person. The Irrepressibles is one person, but it's the same person who does In the Shirt, which right. We've seen, we know, we love, we're done with. Two Men in Love has very much the same vibe, however it's very overtly queer. I'm not gonna go ahead and say it's a Dennis personal thing, regardless of if it's about him and whatever he does in his own life, it's a very cool choice. It goes back to, like, everything we've been talking about with, like, the expectation of, like, masculinity and femininity in male figure skating, and I feel like it's a very cool choice when he inevitably uses that as one of his programs next year. I'm gonna guess his short, because it's, like, the perfect length for a short.
No, I think it says free.
Is it? Interesting. Is that song long enough? Let's find out.
It does have, like, three distinct sections.
Okay.
Which I feel like makes me think it's a free. But maybe that's why I think it's a free.
Let me just find out how long this song is for half a second. But,
let's find the announcement.
It's like a 6-minute song. We're good. It might be his free.
He actually didn't say it was either. He said he just said
yeah, it's it was the same thing.
Programs. That could be his ex.
It's the same thing with Bloodstream. He just said premiere. He's premiering both of them, so I'm assuming it's the two. I really hope it's a competitive program, because either way, I don't care about his personal life. I hope he's happy and feels safe and whatever he is up to. It's a very cool choice, because the words, the lyrics to that song are very, like, there is no way to misread them. There is no way to, willfully misinterpret them. And I think that's a cool choice, regardless.
It's called Two Men in Love.
Called Two Men in Love, and it starts with, like, something about someone being your prince. It's a gorgeous song. It's so beautiful. So I'm excited to get to see all of that. Also, I'm super excited for his Bloodstream, because I feel like it might have a similar vibe to when he did Iron by Wutke, which was super cool, and it worked for him so well. And I'm completely hopeful we're not going to see yellow and purple satin for him this next season. So Dennis, I love you. I'm so excited.
Cheesy Dennis, no cosplay Dennis. I want, like, earnest, indie, sexy Dennis.
Yes! God, I'm so excited. It's going to be his season. I'm fucking hype. Okay. So, speaking of Dennis, Stefan Zosu there, looking gorgeous as ever, doing what he does best, spinning around. We didn't get to see a lot of his skating in the broadcasts.
He is doing, he's doing a collab with Toshi, which I thought was unexciting.
Yeah, it's just...
He's doing...
Toshi sounds great, Steph is doing what he does.
He has his current show programs I'm actually, like, meh on.
Yeah.
He does one that's, like, Son of God or something, right?
Yeah, and that program is gorgeous. And it might be my own fault, but I've seen it so many times. Honestly, that just be... That might be a me problem. But I've seen him do Son of God so many times that at this point I'm like...
It's new, too. He's just, like, done it so many times.
I mean, he's been doing it since, like, I shows in 2018. Also, I am known to go in what I like to call a step hole, which is where I just go on YouTube and I just watch him skate for hours and hours and hours. So, honestly, it's just on me that I've seen that many, many times.
He's also been doing Down the Road, which I do enjoy, but
yeah.
Got cut off on the Kobe broadcast, which I thought was stupid.
The Kobe broadcast robbed us so many times.
It did. Now, we also
But it also gave us so much.
Yeah, well, we have Johnny Weir was there, and he's doing his new Fuego routine in weirdest costume ever.
Can we get one thing straight? He's not. No, can we get one thing straight? I adore that costume so deeply. I think no one else can pull off fucking, like, sexy Dunkin' Donuts mascot.
That's what it is!
It is pink and orange. The cut is weird. It looks weird on his butt. It's bedazzled in a bizarre way. It has, like, weird black side things. It is hideous. But the thing is, Johnny, throughout the ages, has worn so many things that no one else can pull off, and all of them are garbage, and I trust him so much with them. I can't be mad at it. He wears it so earnestly, and it works with the song, and I think it's fire, and I'm super into it.
Yeah, I don't know what else I can say. His hair looked good. His eyebrows looked good. It was a sexy routine.
He's been doing, like, tiny little wings and, like, makeup this whole duration of the show, which I also really appreciate. Also, can I just say, I'm sorry, I'm just very passionate about Johnny Weir. Can I just say, I appreciate that he has officially announced that he's allegedly gonna retire in, like, 4 years, which gives me anxiety. He's gonna be, like, done with ever skating. Which, I don't know, we'll see. But he was like, you know, in my time left, I really want to do, like, programs that matter to me and, you know, mean a lot and they're whatever, like, meaningful and beautiful and blah, 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 blah. And then he does Fuego, which just takes us to the club. And I appreciate that he was like, I want it to matter in, like, 5 years when I'm done. And it's just a club song. I respect him so deeply. I would die for him. It's such a great program, and I wish we got to see all of it, because fucking Kobe did not broadcast all of it.
But you know what Kobe did broadcast was the Japanese ladies having a cake decorating contest, and I can't be mad at that.
You know what? That's so valid. I will, yeah, I will admit that was deeply entertaining.
I didn't know I needed that, but I did.
I'm growing more and more convinced that Kaori Sakamoto and I would be great friends. I just want to hang out with her and Benoit when he's, like, choreographing for her. I feel like they're, like, the perfect people to get craft beers with.
Oh my God, I love them.
I adore them. She is, like, such a goofball, and I feel like she has, like, a sense of humor that I would very much mesh with. You know, sometimes you just see, like, celebrities or, like, people, like, performers or whatever, and you're like, we would, like, have a great chat. I feel like I would just, like, sit down and have a great time with her. She's so fun. Also, she won the cake thing.
She did.
She made her coaches out of, like, little cupcakes, which was precious.
It was very cute. So she won Japanese nationals and Japanese cake contest.
Like, cake, like, Japan's greatest bake-off.
Oh my God.
Evgeny Plushenko is there.
Don't care. Sorry.
I feel like we gotta, at some point, talk about the myth, the legend. We might do that when we do, like, a retrospective episode, because I have opinions about him. I don't care. What he did in this particular show was deeply unexciting for me. But I've enjoyed seeing him, like, hanging out with people in, like, backstage videos and, like, Instagram and stuff, because he does look like a guy who, like, showed up to be with his friends and show and, like, have fun, which I can respect.
Agree.
I just don't care for his skating in this particular program, like, at all.
That's fair. So, something that we have been seeing is the Japanese ladies premiering their new programs.
Yes.
So, we got to see Rika's short, and we got to see Satoko's short, both of which are sort of vaguely Egyptian-y, kind of, but also kind of like, ooh, sexy, sexy.
Yeah, that's very much the vibe. I feel like I'm going to like both of them. Like, I deeply enjoy both of them. They do not make me feel as uncomfortable as when Loreen was doing weird Egyptian. I need to explore that further. I feel like I need to see them, like, when they actually do them in competition to really analyze them. But what I've seen is super fun, and I can't be mad at it. Also, some great costume choices.
Oh my God, incredible costume choices. There's, like, a mesh shawl thing on Rika. There's a fucking adorable crop top situation on Satoko. A lot of pants. Oh my God.
I'm sure both of them are gonna end up with, like, the more, you know, classical, femier version of both of those for competition, which I'm sad about. But right now, especially like Rika's mesh is so correct. It is something that I would wear like out to the club on a Friday. It is great. And she looks gorgeous and it's so much fun. Yes. Excited to see those programs develop. Because there's like this quality of like them still being very fresh right now. I'm excited to see them like really get comfortable with both of those programs because they're super fun.
Yes. Other things to see. My Mihara premiered in Kobe, and she's doing a Butterfly by Mariah Carey. What did I say? Mariah Mihara? My Mihara. I don't know. There's puns to be had there.
She's doing Hero, which...
Is it not Butterfly? What did I say? Butterfly, is it Hero?
It's Hero. She's doing Hero, which, like, if you tell me someone's skating to Hero, I'd be like, it's 2019. Why is anyone doing that? The tea is, it's a great program, and she looks gorgeous. And, like, it's one of those songs where, like, when it starts and, like, the piano comes in, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, why are we doing this again? It's, like, one of those songs people always do when they're, like, auditioning for The Voice or something. And I'm kind of over it. But then it starts, and I'm like, no, this is beautiful. It's, like, timeless and gorgeous. So I can't be mad at it. And she always looks so stunning.
She's like, so joyful and earnest. Spirals, I feel like she can do that.
And it's so just so beautiful, like, her lines. I'm not upset about it at all. I thought I would be, but I'm not.
No, I love it. I doubt it's going to be a competition program, but
yeah,
I like it
a hope
lot.
I hope we get to see it in like exhibitions a bunch.
So we also got at the Sendai show. We got to see Yondo.
Yes, we did.
Both of whom are fucking stunning goddesses.
Do you want to repeat names? Because I'm not sure if they cut off.
Sure, Miki Ando and Shizuka Arakawa.
Nope.
Both there.
This Carmen hates Shizuka apparently.
Oh my god, Carmen's racist.
Carmen.
Shizuka Arakawa.
Yeah, you're going to have a take to work with. Okay.
Okay. They were there. It was incredible. I've been a Miki Ando stan since, like, day one.
Yeah, agreed. It's been exciting to see them skating. And it's, like, the same thing as what we've said about Yuna. It's about, like, seeing this, like, gravitas in a female skater is always so exciting because we never get to see that. And, like, there's just, like, something super beautiful about, like, the quality of the skating quality of, like, I hesitate to say the older ladies because they're, like, not old, but you know, like the legends in female figure skating.
I'm trying to remember what they did. So I feel like Shizuka did a really beautiful like bridal program, which was pretty. And then Miki, right, who did the one where fucking like kimono bathrobe, and
yes,
it was like the vibe of like it was like the reveal of the sleeve, and then she was fucking running around. It felt to me like she was like a widow who was like running around her estate, like a little bit drunk at like 5 a.m, like just fucking going crazy. It was
that's
great.
Like a full narrative you got from that. It like really took you to like a spot.
It really took me to a place. It was eerie and I loved it.
Yeah, no, she's so fantastic. It was like refreshing to like to see them and like see this like legendary feminine performance. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And it was also like, I being the trash that I am, was like, oh my God, is it awkward with Javi? Do they ever look at each other in the group number?
I was trying not to be that person, but we all wondered. Also, speaking of Javi, can we talk about the flamenco fantasies? Because, oh my fucking God.
We must. So that was the Sendai performance,
yes,
right?
When him and like everyone did flamenco on ice. Which I'm gonna go ahead and say that I would pay so much money to see like 2 hours of that.
Oh my God, he did flamenco stomping on a stage in ice skates with no guards on. Like,
it was so stressful. It was deeply stressful, but also so gorgeous. I know it's like
down onto the ice
and just like started. Oh, gorgeous. It might be just like
I stepped onto an ice rink today with like a 6-inch drop from the ground, and I thought that I was gonna fucking die.
That's horrible. You have a drop. You have a drop like going in
on this rink that we were in today.
Weird.
There's a little drop. Yeah.
Oh, mine has like a tiny step. Yeah. Well, but what I was gonna say is with the flamenco thing, it's so gorgeous, and it like meshes like traditional flamenco like dance with figure skating. Like the style is like so beautifully combined. It doesn't seem like it's like a forced connection. It's not like Javi's like, oh, I'm Spanish, so I'm just gonna try to do this thing. it feels like a very organic mix, which is super interesting. And also, like, there's always, like, this, like, full narrative with it, which is, like, super exciting. I would, like, fully see, like, a whole, like, ballet, like, 2-hour, like, Chronicle of a Dead Foretold on Ice.
Oh my god, that would be so cool!
Right? Can I just say, I was in, like, 11th grade when we were studying Chronicle of a Death Foretold. I was reading it. I was, like, 2 chapters in. My mom comes into my room. She sees I'm doing homework. And she's like, oh, my God, I love this book. Do you like it when at the end blah, 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 blah happens? And she spoiled the entire thing for me.
Maria!
It's, like, and she denies it to this day. But I remember it so vividly. Having said all of that, Javi's entire flamenco thing gave me very much that vibe, and I would, like, see, like, a whole piece that's all that.
While we're here, can we talk about Jeffrey Buttle's Joni Mitchell program that made me weep in a way that I was not prepared for? I was not expecting that.
Yeah, agreed. Oh, I also cried. Like, I had, like, full, like, tears and snot happening.
Oh, my God. Like, Jeffrey does both sides now, but it's, like, the sad old Joni Mitchell version from Love Actually. I was, like, full ugly crying. Like, Jeffrey Buttle, what have you...
Jeffrey Buttle is one of those people who, like, going back, you can always see where his path was gonna lead him, because he understands music and, like, connecting to it and moving to it in a way that, like, even incredible performers can sometimes. Like, his quality of connection is fucking insane.
I think that Jeffrey Buttle was the Jason Brown of his day. Not necessarily, they don't skate exactly the same, but they have a similar vibe and they have the same initial. And that's what I'm gonna say about that.
Same initials. Beautiful conspiracy theory. No, I agree. He has, like, this unique way of, like, connecting to and performing a piece of music, which is, like, so moving and made me very sad. Also, like, this is one of the programs that, like, as we're talking about this, it's one of the programs where I'm like, oh my god, the second we're done, I'm gonna go back and, like, see it one more time.
Right.
Yeah, I just really want to experience that again.
So, okay. Alina Zagitova did a new version of Carmen, and it's somehow even longer. It's a little better, though. It looks like she's maybe loosened up a little bit. But my god, could I have fucking never seen any Carmen from Alina again and been happy.
Like, I will say, Alina seems like she's been having such a great time on tour, and she's, like, clearly, you know, out there baking cakes, having a
great
time.
She's so cute. She made a cake up with her dog on it. Yeah. Like, with a doll face.
Her whole thing, like, she was describing what she was doing with her cake, and she had, like, cherry blossoms and, like, a little, like, Hershey's mountain, and she was like, this is for, like, the mountains in Japan, and she was like, I love Japan so much, and this is, like, my Japan cake, but it's also for my dog. It was very precious. She's very sweet. Having said all of that, please never ever fucking do Carmen again. I'm so tired. I'm just so tired.
Lisa's been doing a collab with this awesome, like, violinist that's very, like, Legend of Zelda, but make it Middle East, but make it
Lord of the Rings sometimes.
Lindsay Sterling, where she's doing, like, kung fu moves in, like, a sexy Lord of the Rings negligee.
It starts kind of awkward elegance, because she's, like, in a bathrobe, but she makes it seem like a kimono. And I'm like, you're in Japan, why are you doing this? Please stop, it's embarrassing. Then she takes it off and she's wearing this, like, Lord of the Rings fantasy.
The kind of music that they would play in a commercial for Kingdom Hearts. Like, that, like, epic violin with, like, a cool beat under it, do you know what I mean?
It's on Epic Music Volume 48.
Yeah, now that's what I call epic music.
Oh, Brady. I miss Brady. I feel like I haven't seen Brady skate in 27 years. I know you saw her live. I have not.
I haven't seen her since I saw her live. So.
That was like 5 years ago.
She's in the Mission camp, though. She's she's doing Russia boot camp now.
She's hanging out at Mission. And when we get to social media, I can talk about that. Because that's been exciting, actually. That whole
Florence
camp situation.
In the Mission.
Florence in the Mission. Are we missing
Scott and Tessa?
Important? Scott and Tessa. No. I mean, I already said what I had to say about Scott and Tessa. They're stunning.
The fucking omnipresent clowns are there. No one invites them.
They just show
up.
They
just come to everything.
Also, Scott and Tessa do Never Enough from Greatest Showman, which feels like a personal betrayal to me. Because I am ready to never, ever, ever hear Greatest Showman again. But when it's them and it's like this gorgeous, like, love song, I'm like, you know what? you can do that. It's fine. I will allow it. But, like, I don't want it.
I think that's more or less it. Did we miss anything? I feel like I've aged 45 years.
Yeah. God, off-season is so long. I feel like this covers the performance part of ice shows, and now we can do, like, a smooth transition into, like, social media slash updates, because a lot of the beauty of ice shows is that everyone's hanging out. Which is delightful, and we can talk about that as we, like, kind of cover social media and what people have been up to, I think.
Yeah, let's do that. I can't imagine how exhausting it must be to be performing at all these, because just talking about all of them, I'm like, right? I drink.
Yeah, no, agreed. It's weird because, like, as theater people, we've definitely done, like, many runs of a show, or, like, been doing, like, a show and, like, 12 other things at the same time. However, seeing them skate that much seems exhausting. Like, because it's, I can't even, like, imagine, like, usually a session for me is, like, an hour, 20 minutes, if I'm lucky, and you know they're, like, with practice, rehearsal, warming up, doing a show, etc., you know everyone's skating, like, 8 hours a day, which sounds, maybe more, which sounds, yeah, let's talk social media.
Should we talk about Flower Crown Gate 2019?
Let's start there. Okay. I was trying to explain Flower Crown Gate to a friend today who is not into figure skating. I wanted to make a point about something else, but to get to that point, I had to explain all of it to him. So for those of you who don't know, because it happened so quickly, it all happened within like 4 hours, Johnny posted a picture from backstage at Fantasy on Ice of him and Yuzu wearing those flower crowns people get at ice shows from, like, fans. It's, like, a whole thing. I don't know why, but especially in Japan, I think, the way people get flowers or, like, bouquets or whatever, they get flower crowns, which is very cute. So he posted a picture, and it's the two of them wearing flower crowns. Both of them were, like, crooked, like, very deliberately, and they're kind of smiling, clearly having fun. He posts it. He has a very cute caption. It's, like, you know, something about his idol. It's very cute that he calls Yuzu one of his idols, because Yuzu's like, as we know, cited him as one of his idols. It's like a whole, like, circle jerk of being each other's idols. It's like a whole thing. So that happens. And then Johnny deletes that picture off of Instagram and Twitter, where he posted it. And he goes in Instagram stories, and he's like, hey guys, just wanted to let you know I've deleted this. Yuzu's management has a very particular way they like him to be portrayed. I've deleted it. I'm sorry to, like, both of our to fans of both of us. And that's the end of that. Sounds innocent. However, it is the off season, and skate Twitter is bored.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know. I'm exhausted. Like, on one hand, I live for this kind of drama, and on the other hand, I'm exhausted by it.
It's just, the thing is, I love me a piece of spicy drama, and I love being like, oh my god, management, and like, this evil, like, thing that's like, controlling people, and like, oh my god, the way they're perceived in the public eye. But also, it's one picture, and it got erased, and people have like, 4 different theories as to why. Some of them are spicier than others. I don't even know what I think about it at this point. I think it's very feasible that they were just like, hey, we're going to get a better quality picture of this, like, published or, like, whatever. Can you not? It could also be many other things. I don't know. What's your wildest prediction?
I don't know. I mean, the wildest thing is, like, oh, no, he can't be photographed with Johnny because Johnny's notoriously gay, right? Like, that's, like, the wildest one. And it's like, oh, Yuzu can't be next to gay. What?
I'm, like, literally choking on my drink. Notoriously. Notoriously gay. Happy
sexual
Pride,
orientation,
everyone.
Notoriously gay.
I mean, if anyone is notoriously gay, it's Johnny. I mean, that's a spicy take, and it's a take that's, like, very scandalous, and it's very interesting to, like, talk about, especially, like, during Pride Month. I'm not sure if I think that's the case. It could also be, like, Yuzu seems like, you know, it's after a show, his hair is messy, like, all of that. Maybe they just want his public image, like, posted by people who have a lot of followers to be cleaner than that. It could be, honestly, anything.
Yeah, I truly don't know. And there was also a speculation that because Johnny tagged the fan who gave them the presents, the head crowns, and Yuzu has a strict policy of, like, not ever posing with fan presents because it's not fair or something.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I get it, it's very sweet, but also he has to realize he can't pose with every single person. Like, I don't know, it's, I get it. He seems like, sometimes he seems like he's so focused on, like, being fair to every single person that he ends up, like, depriving, I don't know, this is just, like, a tangent, but, like, allegedly, let's assume that, like, oh my god, he doesn't want this because it, like, acknowledges one person. However, getting rid of this picture deprives every single one of his fans of one more picture where he seems like he's, you know, in great spirits, having lots of fun, looking adorable. So, you know, pros and cons of that don't equal out for me personally. I don't know. I don't know how management works.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't have a manager.
I don't either. But it was weird because it was such a tiny thing, but it became, for like 12 hours, it was what was like entertaining people. Which is always weird to see, like, the things skating internet like latches onto, especially when we don't have like much else going on.
There was also like, didn't you say there was a thing of like, oh, Alina decorated her cake in a different...
Oh yeah, there was like people obviously want Zhenya and Alina to like hate each other super deeply, which I'm gonna go ahead and say they don't. Like, I don't know them, maybe they do, but like, doesn't seem like they do. But yeah, because in the skate decorating thing, the cake decorating thing, it's Lisa and Zhenya doing it, and then Alina does it separately, people are like, oh my god, like, why is she doing that? They were like segregated. It's like the whole thing of like, oh my god, are they being kept apart? Which I feel like people really want this, like, Nancy and Tanya, like, storyline where they have to be, like, separated so they don't, like, physically fight each other. And I don't think that's the case. I feel like one of them had, like, a Nike photo shoot to attend or something.
Mm-hmm. Or, they were rehearsing with the band at different times or something.
Yeah. It's very much, like, I've never, like, produced a skating event, but I'm sure it's like, oh right, like 11:30 to 1 o'clock, so and so has like ice time to warm up, and like everyone else go decorate cakes. Like, I'm sure it's not a huge deal, but that's been another thing that's been keeping people entertained this off season.
What else has been going on social media?
Mission Camp is happening, and, like, Brady's there. Some other people are also doing it. What's exciting is, during this camp, we have learned that my sweet Russian boyfriend, Andrei Lazukin, is getting Benoit choreo for next season, which I'm very hype about. It, like, that's, like, fresh
and
news from
Boyang,
like,
right?
Boyang is also, Benoit is like booked and blessed. He's like traveling, doing things. His kids and his wife miss him. But yeah, a lot of sweet boys are getting his choreo, and I for one am so pumped for that, because I feel like with both Boyang and Lazukin, it should be beautiful.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. We forgot the number one most important thing that has happened in any ice show, which is when they skated to the Evangelion theme.
Oh my god, can you, do you care to talk to us about that?
You know I fucking do.
Please go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy. I'm just gonna sit back.
Okay, listen. It's June. We've been waiting for months for the single best anime, nay, television program in the history of the world to come to Netflix after years of existing in the cryptid dark web only. Neon Genesis Evangelion, the only thing I truly care about in this world, the only thing I have truly cared about in this world since I was about 14 years old. And I have been saying someone's got to skate to it. If any of you follow me on Twitter, you know that my handle is Neon Genesis Evgenia Medvedeva, which I think is a hilarious pun.
It is. It's very funny.
Little did we know it was going to come true. I spoke it into existence because the Fantasy on Ice cast did a skating routine to the infamous opening song, Cruel Angel's Thesis. And it was fucking great. And Evgenia wore the little hair clippy dudes that they wear when they're inside the Ava. Apparently, Yuzu was getting so into it in rehearsal that Toshi was like, Hanyu-san, you need to calm down. And he was like, I can't. I love the song. That's the only move.
Oh, you and Yuzu would be such good friends.
I, like, literally, like, my soul yeeted off the earth when I saw that. Like, I was,
yeah,
I could not tell you what happened.
You were very emotional in the chat when we were watching it.
Yeah, well, anyway, as of time of recording, later this week, Ava drops on Netflix, and this, like,
yeah, so we're gonna be taking a brief hiatus from this podcast, because we're gonna be watching that 24/7 until Megan lets me go.
Yeah, it's true.
We watched all of Chicago Med, my favorite medical show, which is 80 episodes, and each one of them is 40 minutes, in like, I want to say a week?
Yeah, we're monsters.
We're horrible. That was very exciting. I have never seen the show. I only know that you love it a lot, so I, like, respect it from afar. Very excited to see it. But it was a great number. Also, their costumes in that number, very bizarre.
Very weird. They were, like, I mean, half purple, like unit one.
But yeah, like, but they were half leather, like, formal wear, like button-ups, and then half, like, weird chiffon fantasies.
Very weird. Couldn't tell you where that comes from, having seen the show 100 times. No idea.
You know what? I'm sure some costume designer was very excited. You know what else is vital, speaking of social media and also iShows and also content that we need to talk about? And I'm going to try to just be gentle about. We have gotten so much blessed backstage content, and I mostly mean Johnny and Stefan being stupid.
You know we live for this.
I gotta tell you, I was at the Prague airport, the Václav Havel airport, at like 6 in the morning a couple weeks back, when the two of them, when Johnny went live on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my god, Johnny's live, let's just like see what's up, I'm waiting for my gate announcement, I'm just gonna see. And it's him and Stefan, and they're like in their socks and sweatpants, singing to the classic early 2000s banger Left Outside Alone by Anastasia. And it is a piece of contemporary art is impossible to put into words. It is a 3-minute performance art situation, which is so gorgeous. It made me so happy. I was at the Starbucks at this airport, fully, like, laughing into my hands because I was trying not to be outwardly embarrassing. I do not remember what depression feels like. I have never been happier in my life. And I thought that was all I was gonna get. But since then, the content has kept coming. And you know, I am so used to giving, and now I get to receive.
And then the hairspray situation.
The hairspray situation. That was like this morning / last night. First of all, I believe as of right now, they've like finished the tour. At least Johnny was done. He was saying he's done. So I think they're done. From what I've seen on social media, both the hairspray situation and like this video of Yuzu on like one of the like Team Brian Orser fan Instagram pages. This men locker room. Inherently, the words men's locker room terrify me, just because I'm a person in the world. But this one seemed so lit. It features, like, Yuzu just being goofy and, like, dancing around, being loud and funny. It also features Johnny and Stefan doing a hairspray interpretive dance to, what is that song? It's a song they've done on Glee, and I hate that I know that.
I don't know it. I don't think
is
I know
it. Is it the bust your the windows of your car? On Glee, they do it when Mercedes has a crush on Kurt, and he turns her down because he's gay, and she's very upset, so she sings "Bust the Windows of Your Car." Amber Riley, gorgeous singer, horrible plotline.
That's a hate crime.
So anyway, they're like dancing to the original version of that song, not the Glee version. I would have cried. And like Scott Moyer is there, and he's like dying because you're dumb. It's just good to see people be friends and hang out and have fun with each other. I think that's my favorite part of like iShows, is seeing everyone like hanging out It's very humanizing. I think we're going full circle back to, like, what I was saying. What we were saying in the beginning. They can eat.
I love watching them eat. Like, not in a gross way, but just, I think it's exciting that they can hang out and skate and eat and not be on diets and shit. And, like, if you watch, like, the Shibzibs, have been putting up vlogs of...
Their vlogs are so blessed.
So fun. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Just, this is not paid promotion, but go watch their video blogs. They're so fun. There is, my favorite one is the one where they go bowling, and, it's for Stefan's birthday, technically, I think, but, it is so gratifying to see people who are incredible at something be so very bad at something. Like, everyone except for Javi is so bad at bowling. Oh, and then Javi is just, like, poised and beautiful and getting progressively drunker, but very, very good at bowling. I have not been bowling in, like, years, but watching them, I was like, oh, this looks, like, so much fun. So, yeah, go watch their vlogs. Great content. Watching people hang out and be human. Very beautiful.
Beautiful.
Do we have
anything else?
No. Listening to people hang out and be friends, also beautiful. So thank you for tuning in. Yes. If you enjoy this, it means a lot to us to let us know via giving us 5 stars on wherever you're listening, preferably the iTunes podcast app. This is the one that really matters. It's what gets people to like see it if they're just browsing for new podcast content. So give us 5 stars, write us a review. It doesn't need to be super important. It's mostly the actual rating. So you can just write us a review and be like, oh my God, this is my favorite song. I wish someone would skate to that, or like whatever you want to tell us. We're going to be so happy you said anything. If you want to chat with us, you can find us at IcedTPod on Instagram and Twitter, also at IcedTPod at gmail.com and IcedTPod.com if you just want to like write us a long letter about how you feel about Johnny Weir's Instagram. Like, talk to me about that. Megan, if they just want to talk to you about anime, where can they do that?
If you want to talk to me about anime, you can find me on Twitter at Megan Kelly.
Nope. That's you know what? Carmen hated that.
Carmen doesn't like it when I say my Twitter handle. My Twitter handle is Megan Kelleher 3. That is also my Instagram handle.
Oh, right. Carmen let you do that this time. You can find me at Neda Marie. That's NEDA and then just Marie. You know how to spell Marie on Twitter and Instagram. There's going to be a Patreon link coming your way pretty soon. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Not sure when, but budget accordingly. But in the meantime, completely for free, just talk to us. Tell us you've been listening. We're going to super appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. We love all of you. Bye.